May we read responsively selection number 94, Christ the Savior. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life.
For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Therefore, he is able also to save them who are lost and come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them.
Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. May we pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we come into your presence this day, we do so with perplexed hearts and troubled minds. We would pray at this hour and in continuing hours with the utmost fervency of our being that we may come to the time when we can again have peace upon this earth. Be with every boy, every man, every person fighting out in the battlefronts at this hour. Help us to make an earnest endeavor to view this situation objectively, to try and see it also from the standpoint of the others engaged in this turmoil. But help each person there to realize that he does have the support of those of us at home, that we do wish that God's will may be accomplished, that we are praying that each one of them may return home soon, that there can be a cessation of hostilities. But as we look over our own land and we find so much of a troublesome nature here, we earnestly pray that we can be participants in bringing about truly a time of peace and understanding among men here within our great nation. Grant that there soon may be an understanding among races. Grant that there soon may be a leveling of economic disparities. Grant that soon there may be an understanding among Christian groups that will lead to something truly fine, something truly worthy of a Christian nation. But as we think of our own individual responsibilities, we recognize the great difficulty involved in living a creditable Christian life. Grant that we may live continuously in your presence, and that we may have eternal guidance as we endeavor to overcome the sins of this day, jealousies, pride, hatreds, prejudices. Help each of us to be able to live a life that will bespeak Jesus, that will be a creditable life. But most of all, help us as we endeavor to move from day to day to so fulfill our responsibilities that good lives will result among those that are under our influence, productive lives will come to exist to characterize our people and help our individual congregations over this great convention, the spiritual bodies over this great nation, to exert the influence that they ought to exert in this 20th century, and help them to continuously minister unto men, that all hearts will be drawn unto them and to the Savior. Be with each of our students as he endeavors to minister, to prepare himself from day to day. May your protective presence hover over each one of them. But especially, we would pray for this, our seminary. Help our professors, be with those of the administrative staff as they plan on into the future. Help us to so prepare each of these men of God that they will be adequate for all the challenges of the tomorrow, that they will be truly adequate men of God. These things we ask in thy name for Christ's sake. Amen.
Yeah.
As each one of you, I am certain, can witness, death can be a shocking experience and can result in a sense of hopelessness. I think that the first time I ever had such an experience with death was when I was in high school. A body was found on the street of our city by a night policeman, and it was judged that the person had been dead for several hours. The person certainly had not shaved that day, or maybe for several days. The clothes were disheveled, and the body gave an appearance of gross neglect and serious abuse. It was announced later that the cause of death was acute alcoholism. A relative was located in Kansas who provided a small amount for the funeral expenses, and the body was buried in the cemetery in our town. It was learned that the man had been a vagabond, had never been a responsible member of a community. As the graveside services were conducted, one wished almost fervently that the life could have been reclaimed, that the circumstances that brought this life to this end could have been understood, that the perhaps continuing dilemma could have been resolved, and that this person more nearly could have reached the human possibility. Life for so many people is a quandary, a continuing dilemma, because so many people fall far short of the human responsibility. I would like, by conjecture, to consider, surmise, imagine what may have been the contributing factors that resulted in this life having been of so little consequence. Perhaps this life resulted in a nothingness or was reduced to little consequence because of conditions within the home. Was the love of the mother or father so possessive that the individual never could free himself, that the personality was stifled? Was the love so inconstant, so poorly based, that there was no stability? Was the child accepted one day and rejected the next? Was the baby unwanted and never accepted as an individual? Children frequently are unable to cope with such situations and are bewildered, indecisive, ineffective persons throughout life. Factors found in the community in which this stranger lived may have prevented the fulfillment of this life. He may have been born on the wrong side of the tracks, and the forces aligned to keep him there may have been formidable. His life may have been spent searching for or dreaming of a different life in seeking to escape. The economic level may have been so low that there was a continuous struggle to keep body and soul together, and the child or children may not have been equipped for life at all. Conditions are so adverse in many areas, you will recognize, that those living in those areas simply cannot lift themselves by their own bootstraps. Many communities actually are death traps. Quite possibly the parents of this boy were industrious, deeply religious, and this person was rejected by his peers because he would not descend to their level. This man quite possibly never reached the point of rational self-acceptance. Life may have been characterized by a continuous striving for unattainable goals. Perhaps he never discovered his capabilities. Perhaps he never had sufficient confidence to accomplish anything of worth. This life quite possibly was made ineffective because of rebellion against authority. Perhaps out of a determination to live his own life, he ran. And he ran every time he had to assume responsibilities. There may have been a sense of rebellion against God. God was not going to tell him how to live. He was going to act by and for himself to live his own life. But enough of conjecture. Are we not agreed that there is no sadder life than that is spent in continuous quandary, dilemma, or perplexing state of affairs? Because the stresses and strains of life, few people become the persons they fully are capable of being. In recognition of this, I think it would be of benefit for us to think briefly about this, the human possibility. I would like to think with you about the human possibility from three standpoints: the physical, mental, and spiritual. Few men ever reach maximum physical effectiveness. We really are wonderful organisms physically. We're able to change our locations at will, to go to the valleys, to the seashore, to climb to the mountaintop. Because we are capable of doing such detailed work with our hands and fingers, the surgeon can save a life. The artist can record a scene of great beauty. The musician can communicate with our very souls. We're capable of dancing, swimming, playing, and doing many other things that bring pleasure and enjoyment. Our bodies are capable of executing our many commands and of bringing great joy. But is it not tragic that few people ever reach maximum possible physical development, or even take really good care of these God-given bodies? The possibility of the human mind and intelligence almost is beyond imagination. I have known of no student or any individual whose mind ever really was overdeveloped or reached maximum possible development. With this power of reason, we can penetrate the surface of phenomena and understand their existence. With the power of imagination, man can visualize things not yet existing, and can plan and can create. With his power of communication, man can collaborate with other men in bringing great things into being. But with his power of reason, he also can devise instruments of destruction. With this power of imagination, he can chart devastation. With this power of communication, he can spread ill will. Man must have adequate motivations. But how tragic it is that so few people have curious, searching, seeking minds that really have high-level intellectual motivations. How few people ever come to know the great men of letters, ever really unlock the great libraries, ever even begin to reach the human possibility mentally. We will be eternally grateful for Einstein, Tillich, Burbank, Shakespeare, and so many others. But is it not sad to recognize that had one more mind been unlocked, properly challenged, become that it was capable of being, a cure of cancer might now have been found, the secret of the energy conversion power plants discovered, a new insight into the nature of creation and God been gained? And how few people ever reach the human possibility spiritually? Man is made for and can respond to faith, commitment, community, and love, and is made for sharing in the redemptive and creative process. Man is first and last God's creature. God is living, is before and beyond and in all things. Creator, righteous Judge, Redeemer, Sustainer, Consummator. The Oxford English Dictionary definition of theistic religion is well stated and worthy of note. Religion is the recognition on the part of man of some higher unseen power as having control of his destiny and as being entitled to obedience, reverence, and worship. It seems natural that man should reach out after God. He finds kindred spirits in others who have sought and have found God. Moses becomes a brother, Dante a counselor. Christ becomes Messiah and Redeemer. For the human possibility to be attained spiritually, there must be an alternation of human concern for the self and its powers to God and His providence. From self-reliance to reliance upon God's love and grace. From fear to faith. From self-confidence to confidence born of a new pattern of involvement in God's creative and redemptive work. For many people, life is faith, hope, and love. Such fruits of the Spirit as love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control are evidence. But what am I saying this morning? Simply this. There is no intelligible reason inherent in the human situation why a person capable of personhood should not achieve and enjoy fulfillment of purposes and major ends. Life need not be spent in quandary. The failure of a self to fulfill God's purposes is the worst of all tragedies. The fulfillment of God's purposes leads to a fruitful life, to life eternal. It is my continuous prayer that each of you may find God's purpose in all its fullness in your lives. And as you move on out into the service of God and mankind, that you may be the instruments whereby people move from quandary, perplexities, uncertainties, into the fulfillment of something really purposeful and of worth in life. May we pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the blessedness of our salvation, for the coming of the Christ, for the finding of life in Him. May we with each of these men of God help them as they move on this portion of their pilgrimage and be with them as they move on into life itself. Help them to be at all times worthy vessels, and to be of great meaning in the kingdom of God. This we ask in Thy name for Christ's sake.